Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 718 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, January 22nd, 2023. And if everything goes right, we have audio up and going. I think we're golden. So, my name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. We broadcast every Sunday in the UK, 9 p.m. in the West Coast, it's 1 p.m. On the East Coast, it is 3 p.m. See, I'm just 4 p.m. actually. I'm just doing a little different here. We don't care about Central Time Zone. I'm not going to talk about that. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. So come check us out there live. We also will do an audio version of the podcast. So you can listen to that while you're grooving to the oldies if you want. On the show today, we have a lovely cast of people. We have Miss Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy. Welcome to snowy Missouri.
Yeah, that's the Central Time Zone. We don't care about Kim.
Yeah, I know. At this point, I don't really care about it at this point. So
fair play. Also on the show, Mr. P. Chin.
Hello, hello, hello. Sporting a tank top. Behind me on the screen are penguins. It has no reflection to the heat in this room whatsoever. it's just hopefully to mentally cool me down. But I'm here.
Look at you participating in Penguin Awareness Day.
That heat.
He is trying to save the world one penguin at a time. Pete. Okay. So it is. I think you just covered this, but let's talk about it real fast. It is kind of dead of winter. It's colder than heck outside, and yet you are in more or less taking my role as tank top. What's going on?
I got the heating on, and it's just so hot in this office. It's a small room, so when you turn anything on, like your mobile phone, it heats the room instantly. So when you've got like a couple of televisions on and a computer and whatever, yeah, it's warm in this room. I've turned the radiator off. I've got me a couple of cold beers, so fingers crossed I should be okay.
Hopefully you will survive. I think we're confident. We're confident you will survive this. All right. Well, look, no Robin today. Robin is currently, I believe, in Barcelona. Isn't that it? Barcelona, I think. Something like that. It's a B.
Bologna.
He's in Italy.
I think he's in Bologna. Let's just put him in Bologna. Robin is currently visiting Bologna.
Yeah,
future chess boxing champion right there. Yes, Pete, Dan making comments about your stature there. Yes, we're going to put Pete into the ginger class. Nothing? Not even a snark? No? Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's just... We don't have any birthdays as far as I know, and if we do, I'm sorry. We missed out. Oh, well. Here we go. Let's talk about some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
So I'm going to start story time off with, I wasn't sure if I was going to be solo on the show, if Kim was going to be joining, or if Pete was going to be joining. Pete, you're like the ninja when it comes to the podcast. It's like crickets, 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 and then suddenly Pete's like, yeah, I'll be on in like 2 seconds. I'm like, okay.
No, hang on. I said last week that I'd be on this week.
You expect me to remember last week to this week? That's ridiculous.
Oh, I know, right? I'm kind of in the same boat. You are.
If I don't tell you that I'm not on, then I'm on. It's as easy as that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
All right.
Well, we're going to hold you to that. I like it. Well, on that note, Pete, let's start off with you then. Let's talk about what's been going on your neck of the woods besides your heater.
How fast has this week gone? I just don't believe how fast this week's gone. But anyway, yesterday I went for it was my dad's birthday, so he's 79 yesterday, and we went for a nice meal. So my brother come along with Tara, Shell, we had Kira and her boyfriend with us, and my mum and dad, and we went for a nice meal. It was really, really cool. So we all had a couple of hours together. Got me dad some nice little presents. There's a Canadian astronaut called Chris Hadfield, and he's doing a talk in the UK in June. And I got him a couple of tickets to see him in June, as well as like the normal things that dads get, you know, like clothing and stuff. But it was nice just to spend some time together. That was really cool. I've started swimming this week. I joined up at a gym not far from me called, well, it's actually at the University of Birmingham. And man, that place is state of the art. It's so cool. It's just brilliant. It's got a 50-meter pool that can, I don't remember if I said this last week, actually. Yeah, it's got a 50-meter pool and they can split it into two. So they have kayaking and water polo going on in the one pool and lane swimming in the other. It's a really, really funky pool. It's got like a 200 station machine gym, a huge free weight section, like a rock wall for climbing. There's a dojo, a couple of yoga rooms, a couple of classrooms for like, you know, Pilates and stuff like that. Yeah, it's real state-of-the-art stuff. It's all nice and modern in there. What is that?
I'm not sure if it was better you saying what is that or Kim's face. You get me a little hot and bothered there, Pete. I'm just saying, all this talk about the exercise equipment and stuff. Yeah.
I've gone back swimming. My first night back, because I've been going in an evening around 8 o'clock in the evening, and my first night, I got in the pool. I was pretty confident. I was feeling good, and I mean, you've seen me swim, Greg. I don't stop. I did about 10 lengths, and I nearly died. Yeah. The lifeguard.
I need to point something out here, actually. I did not technically see you swim. So when we went to the gym, if you recall, we got into the gym and we kind of we separated out, and then you left me.
No, you said that you saw me upstairs in the pool from upstairs. Yeah, she was leaving the gym.
But you left the gym when you were done. I came down looking for you. You were nowhere to be found. You just went back to the flat.
I think I come out and I couldn't find it anyway. It's one of those. It's only London anyway, compared to like the States. That London's just like a little it's just like a little town, right? So it was only the road the hotel was. Anyway. Right. Uh-huh. We'll skip that. So I got in the pool, I swam 10 lengths and I was nearly dying.
Pool's a workout.
It was tough, but yeah. So I managed to get about 40 lengths done at the end of my workout, which took about an hour, and it was awful. I can swim 40 lengths usually in, I don't know, 14 minutes. You can see where I'm coming from.
So I have a lot of sympathy for what you're saying right now, because Friday night, just so happens, I had, we'll talk about my Friday night in a minute, but lo and behold, I was at the gym and, decided it was going to be a cardio night. And so I hit the treadmill for a half hour. And that was, you know, when I'm on the treadmill, I like to kind of vary it up because I get bored just being on a treadmill. So I'll do like running, walking, inclined, you know, walking, that kind of thing. And then from there, I jumped off and got on a bike and did 20 minutes. And so good solid cardio session in, and then I went to do some crunches, and holy crap, after my fourth set of crunches, my stomach starts cramping. There is no worse feeling in the world than your stomach cramping up, because you're just panicked. You don't know what the hell to do. You're just trying to sit up and just arch and do whatever you can to get it to uncramp. Yeah, it was miserable.
Plus, you've got to make sure that you're not in pain in the face of people that are around you. Yeah.
You're trying to look cool while literally you're like, motherfucker, make it stop.
So I was dying, man. I was in the fast lane and there was a lot of people in the pool. There was about five in the fast lane altogether, and I felt like a real douche.
Anybody tell you to get in the slow lane?
Nah, not at all. At least there's that. I was still my pace was okay. It was just I couldn't do it for very long. Usually I can swim an hour and a half, 2 hours nonstop, and it doesn't bother me at all. But now I did 10 lengths and I was dying. But towards the end of the week, I've managed to do 1,000 meters nonstop. Nice. At a decent pace. So yeah, I'm even getting there just after a week.
Good.
Jigsaws. We've started this new craze in our house. I think I bought Shella a jigsaw. She's always wanted a jigsaw for for many
real quickly.
Months.
Are we talking about an actual jigsaw, or are we talking about jigsaw puzzles?
A jigsaw puzzle. Not the DIY stuff. It was a jigsaw puzzle. Okay. She wanted a jigsaw puzzle just to do in downtime, and everybody's been having a go at this jigsaw now. We've nearly completed it. It's a 1,000-piece jigsaw, and it's kind of like taken everybody's interest in the house. So that's one thing that's been going on in our house this week.
Our family at Thanksgiving time, and not my family, I should say, Cindy's family, notorious. Love to put their puzzles together. So we're always doing jigsaw puzzles. And I say we, not really we. I hate jigsaw puzzles. I find them rather boring. But in the same breath, I'm the guy that, I linger around the outer ring of the people doing the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And I'll look in and I'll be like, oh, here's a piece. here's
grab
one.
The other one.
So I get it. It kind of reminds me of like the Where's Waldo Hunt stuff, though, because I mean, you're literally looking for that one piece for the longest time. You find it, you're like, got it.
Yeah, it is satisfying, isn't it? Apart from that, I've watched a bit of Vikings Valhalla. I'm nearly at the end of the second season now. And another thing I've been watching is because I've spoke about it. I don't know whether I spoke about it on the show before. But I've certainly told a few people that we eventually want to get on a narrowboat, which I don't know whether you've got those in the States, but yeah.
So I think we had this conversation before. We don't have anything called a narrowboat in the States. We have houseboats, which I think is similar, but different.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. In the UK, houseboats would probably be double the width of a narrowboat. So we've got a canal network through England and parts of Wales, and you can travel all the way across this network on a narrowboat, and you can live on them full time. So that's something that we'd like to do eventually. And we've got we just want to do a lot of research on it, and we've got watching this YouTube channel, and you know when you go down that rabbit hole then of watching all these videos. Yep. So we ended up watching a channel called Boat Time. And it's about this couple that have sold their house and moved onto a narrowboat. And it just shows their problems and successes traveling across the canal network across England. And it's good fun. So I've been watching that. But I mean, I've said quite a lot actually for what we've done this week, but it has flown. Yeah. Absolutely flown. So it feels like I only spoke to you guys yesterday.
The month of January seems to have flown by. I feel like it just started last week and we're already towards the end of the month. It's interesting. You talk about, the narrow boats. I think the big craze here in the US, and I don't know if it's still a thing, but it's for a good year, especially coming out of the pandemic, seemed like tiny houses were the thing. Everybody was starting to do the tiny houses. And I just kept, why?
Right.
I do not get the attraction of the tiny house. I couldn't do the narrowboat thing either. More power to you. That is just not for me.
I'd have so much shit I'd have to give away. It's not fun.
Yeah. Well, this is it. It is a lot. It's a funny lifestyle, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And you would have to give up a lot of your belongings. And well, if you have
and
a
my
lot
cats.
Of stuff, yeah.
I mean, what are you gonna do, Pete? You can't fit a PS5 on a narrowboat.
You can because even the channel that I'm watching that
if you watch it in there sideways
that was one of his prerequisites in getting a boat. He says I want to fit my PS5 on there, and he's got a PS5 at least.
Oh,
on
that's
there.
Funny.
Now I don't think I'll be able to play an Oculus Quest on there, And I've got various other consoles and stuff. I just ain't going to be
I mean, the Quest, as long as you strap yourself to the boat, maybe you could go topside and play.
Right.
Maybe.
No.
As long as you're strapped in, you don't go overboard, you know, right?
No, they're too narrow. They really are as narrow as... Yeah, they're like 50 foot long, and I think they're about 8 feet wide. So it's not a big space to be in, really. So you've really got to minimalize what you've got. We'd have to get rid of a lot of belongings, really. But it's a simple way of life, and it is a thing that, you know, some people want to do, and it's just one of the things that we want to have a go at.
Again, we all have choices. What you want, what you like is going to be different from Kim, from me. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's an adventure. Yeah. It's exciting. So,
the thing is, we ain't getting any younger neither. I mean, we want to try and get on in the next couple of years. And looking at the videos and stuff that we've been watching on YouTube and other channels, you know, that it's tough work. It's a lot of manual work, a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. A lot of fixing, like, engines and maintaining the boat. You can't be... You're nowhere near shops, usually, so you got to walk everywhere. There was one video where he had to... It was his birthday, and he walked to the post office because they delivered his Christmas card to the post office. So you can request your mail to be delivered to a post office if you're mooring by there. And he walked all the way there, expecting to be there at a certain time on that day, and it wasn't there. And he had to walk all the way back an hour... And then walk back out again in the afternoon for another hour and then back and manage to get it that second time round. And I mean, that's quite a big upheaval, really, for a card, isn't it? I'd just say, I don't know, video call me or something. Don't bother about a card. Oh, shit,
at least we live in a day and age with cell phones, and so you likely will still have a signal, that kind of thing, wherever you're at, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this channel, I mean, they've only done that recently. This was last year. I don't know. There's some crazy stuff on there. Crazy, crazy stuff. But I don't know. It might be good fun. It might be the worst thing that we've ever done in life, but who knows? You never know until you do it, do you?
Yeah. All right. Kim, what's been going on with you?
It's been a week. It's kind of like last week. It wasn't a good week. It wasn't a bad week. It's still kind of a week. I had to go to my brother's mother-in-law's funeral this week. So, she'd passed away apparently from a heart attack the week before. So that was kind of unexpected for my sister-in-law. So, you know, those are no fun. And I guess good news, my sister is wanting to go back to college. She wants to do like medical billing, coding, that sort of thing. So I don't know. I guess that's good news. I don't know. It's my sister. She didn't like school to start out with. So I'm not real sure she'll stick with it, but I could be wrong. I mean, she's older and more mature now, I guess, so she might.
I am going to say, out of all the professions you would be saying I want to go back to college for, medical coding and billing, not the top one I would have come to mind with.
Yeah, right.
That is a meticulous kind of mindset to do that.
And well, my sister's not necessarily one of those people, but I don't know. Like I said, maybe she works at a hospital now. She's a CNA and a med tech now. And I think she's kind of looking at maybe branching out and maybe getting a little more money and things like that.
So, you know, maybe it's one of those things seen it in action being at the hospital. So who knows?
Well, that's it. And they need a lot of help in the billing department because they just kind of did a massive overhaul of like the CEO and the whole nine yards. So they're looking for extra help there. And well, if she got that, that'd be a big bump in pay for her, which is nice considering she's got the two kids.
And God knows there's job security because hospitals love to send bills.
Right. Well,
how long is the course? Is it like a year or two?
I think it's 6 months.
Oh, really?
6 months or a year or something like that. Apparently, it's not very long. So, and it's not really expensive. And of course, nowadays, with internet being everywhere, she can pretty much do it online, so she doesn't really have to go to school or anything like that. So, I don't know. I hope it works out for her, because I know she's excited about it. So, and who knows? Maybe then she'll eventually be able to afford to pay her babysitter, i.e. me. So, know.
All right. Support her, Kim. Just support that. You got to support that.
Right. So, I mean, other than that, it's just been, it's another one of the weeks. It seems like Pete said, it flew by. Yet it seemed like I was busy all the time. I didn't even get to play Xbox much this week. So,
okay. Well,
it is what it is.
We will get to that shortly. All right. Sure. I guess that is me. Also, again, sorry to hear about the death of the family. That's never easy.
Thank you. Right.
Even, and I don't know how close are you, you know, you were or not, but I mean, it's always challenging because you end up, even if you weren't directly involved, you end up getting some of the fallout from it regardless.
Well, yeah, because like I said, it was my sister-in-law's mother. So, of course, you know, I want to be there for my brother and his wife and all that. So,
totally understand. Well, it's been a pretty good week this past week. You know, work-wise, it's stayed steady. So, yes and no, because it's actually kept me from playing some games during my lunch hour, which...
That's true.
You know, I mean, come on, the important things in life. But no, all kidding aside, it is a good thing. It's always a good thing when, you know, work is busy versus other companies, which we will get into in that in some of the news, where they're facing layoffs and you have, you know, financial problems. Yeah. So, but I wanted to share a little show and tell. So I started to build out a model. And so this is the final version. Hopefully you can see that here in the screen.
Oh,
so that's an AT-AT, Star Wars AT-AT.
Oh, AT-AT.
So I built that the past weekend, and I haven't built a model since I was like 14. So this is like I have been wanting to get back into it. And my wife bought me this last year for Christmas. I got all the modeling stuff I needed in terms of like the, you know, the glues, the paints, that kind of thing. And I just kind of dove in. But I never actually started putting together the model until about a week and a half, 2 weeks back. And so I had a good time with it. I'm brushing back up on some of my techniques of like weathering and doing different things to the model to make it look more realistic. But overall, great experience. And it was kind of a combination of using an airbrush. I bought like a USB powered airbrush for airbrush painting. And then, you know, you're just more traditional brush painting using acrylic paints. So it was all good. And of course, right as I say that, Pete, your lovely camera just decided to do its own little thing. And I don't know what to say.
Is it died?
No, it's got a life of its own. I'm not quite sure what's going on with your camera feed, but it doesn't want to cooperate. It wants to just be Tiny Pete.
Tiny Pete.
And that's what we will call him, Tiny Pete.
It's froze as well, but anyway.
Right. No, it's good. It's good.
No, it is really Tiny
Pete. It was Tiny Pete. Now it's back to normal Pete.
All right.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Anyway, so model building done. I did catch a few different shows. I'll talk about that in a second. Finalizing our Vegas trip. We are trying to get everybody who is coming to be committed by
already there
this weekend, next weekend, end of the month. And then I just noticed your camera just went wonky again, Pete. I'm cracking up. Anyway, so now you're gigantic, Pete.
I'll come in all shapes and sizes. What's the numbers looking like now? Then have we increased? Or what's
we
the
have
deal?
Not increased. So from what I can tell, we are currently at 6 people. I believe. So myself, Robin, you, Mike, Marsh. I want to say there was somebody else. Maybe that was Phil, who is going to be potentially coming on. But I believe Phil has said he is not going to be able to participate. So we're sitting right around 5-6.
Bummer.
That's like that. Oh, that's a good idea. I'll speak to my other off about it. Oh, God, no. It's not a good idea. I can't go.
What?
That Phil, I reckon that's what he's done. He's probably thought, oh, yeah, it's a great idea.
I, and, you know, it's a big ask. I get it. So that's why we're trying to.
It is a lot of money.
We're trying to get some commitment up front ahead of time. I think your camera just doesn't want to cooperate. I think what we will end up doing is we're just going to more or less go hotel. I think hotel is the call. I'm not going to worry about trying to do a condo. I think that will, one, it'll probably be more inexpensive long term. And then two, it will ultimately allow us to be on the strip and have access to being on the Las Vegas strip faster, which will be more fun. So,
yeah, good.
But yeah, so beyond that, we had the NFL playoffs that has started up. I don't want to talk about last weekend. My Chargers shit the bed amazingly. This week's game so far, one good, one not so good. The Chiefs were in a bit of a throwdown yesterday with those same Jaguars, but they were able to get out with a victory. Then there was a very...
Which is surprising, given that Mahomes was screwed up. So.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes' ankle is... we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
The New York Giants got annihilated by the Philadelphia Eagles, so there was that. And then there's some good games today, which I have no insight into other than the Bengals and the Bills are playing. That's the game that originally we saw back in a few weeks back where the guy had the heart attack on the field. So
I can't believe it. Isn't he young? He was, wasn't he? About 26 or something like that.
But it's so apparently what happened to him is he got hit in the chest. And this actually happens a lot with kids in baseball, in Little League baseball, apparently in the U.S., where... Because their rib cages aren't necessarily properly formed yet, they can't totally protect their heart that well. And so if they take a shot by the ball in the chest, like say they're playing shortstop or second base, it can, you know, on the rare occasion, hit right when the heart is hitting that beat and cause the heart to, in a sense, stop. And so that's what happened with him in that hit. It was a very routine hit, but it just was timed perfectly. I mean, kind of a million to one shot. It'll be interesting to see if he plays football again. I'm kind of curious.
I was going to say, normally with footballers in or soccer players, as you call them in England, once they've had something like that happen to them on the field, they're pretty much don't come back, or in a very small, in a smaller team, not doing as much as far as duties. But it's a shame, isn't it, that?
It is. You know what? But he's alive. That's the most important part. So.
Oh, yeah.
And then some shows. So I watched Star Wars Bad Batch. I'm kind of caught up through, I think, four episodes. If you haven't seen this before, Bad Batch kind of is following a squad of clone troopers in the Star Wars time frame. It's an animated series. Really well done. Very much enjoying it. Steve Conger turned me on to this series. It's on Disney Plus, so if you are at all interested in that kind of thing, I highly recommend Bad Batch. It's definitely worth checking out. And then I watched The Last of Us, the season premiere. So I will not spoil anything. I don't think there's really anything to spoil, especially through episode one, because it's very faithful to the game. And so I will leave it at that. We'll talk a little bit more about this as well, because I do have some thoughts around this, but I'll save it for later in the show. But it's good. It's really good, well acted. Special effects seemed great. The story, the acting, all of it, just, you know, really good. And it makes for a great TV series, movie series. And I don't think that should shock anybody. So the only downside to it, it is episodic. And so they apparently are releasing it out on Sundays. So kind of very Game of Thrones-esque in terms of how they're doing that. So new episode will be released at some point in time tonight, if not already out. And then, my understanding is there are some highs and lows with some of the episodes per some of the critics. And I put that in quotes because, I don't know if that's gaming critics or if it's TV critics, but... I think the first and like third episode they were saying were better than some of the other episodes. Who knows? I would just say this. It's good. It's worth watching. I would recommend it to anybody. I very much enjoyed how I think the TV series, quite honestly, comparatively to the game, I think does a little bit better job with some of the
initial backstory and character building. And so I very much enjoyed that. I think they just added a few elements here and there, while staying very faithful to, again, the original story of the game. And so, it was a nice layering. And so, yeah, it's very successful. So I will be watching it again for sure.
I think the, I think it's a good idea with the episodic thing from a business point of view. It's, I mean, in this country, you can watch it via Now TV, and it's probably just to retain customers on their subscription model. But sometimes it's good having it all in one batch. Like you'd get Vikings Valhalla turn up, you got 12 episodes, and you can speed, you know, you can rush through it all. But sometimes it's just, I don't know, having that episodic and that wait, that anticipation's good, I think.
Yeah.
If it's good. If it's a good program.
Well, exactly. It has to be a good program for you to be willing to wait for the next episode. I mean, if it's shit, you're going to be like, I'm one and done. I do think, and this is the reality of, the streaming apps, and Netflix even has been messing with their model as well, because they realize they need to keep people engaged. And binge watching, while it sounds great from a user standpoint, because I think it is, you can either jump into a series or jump out of it fast, from a actual company standpoint, it sucks, because it puts a lot of pressure on you then to have to turn new content out very, very quickly. Whereas if you can release it out episodic, something like, The Last of Us, we put out one episode every week, that will churn and keep people on the app for months, as opposed to you put it all out on one week, they burn through it in one week, and then suddenly they're, well, what else is there? And if there's not something else out there, then they're going to be like, well, I'll let my subscription lapse for this month and I'll come back in 2 or 3 months' time. Also, advertising, I think, is going to start coming its way to some of these streaming apps. I know that they've been playing around with the ideas. We're already seeing things like, I think it's Paramount Plus has some kind of version of it. And so, I think Hulu also is one that where it's like you have a paid version, and even the paid version has a tier to it that still is ad supported. So, I hate that, for the record.
It is a pain in the backside, but I'm so used to it with YouTube, I don't think it would be a real big game changer for me. And if there was an offer of buying a premium service without ads, I don't think I'd even go down that route with Netflix. I wouldn't bother. I'd just put up with the adverts, whereas maybe someone like yourself would pay that extra couple of bucks. I don't know.
I don't know.
I
certainly watch content on demand all the time that has ads in it. It doesn't really bother me too much. But, it is nice when you don't have to deal with the ads. I'm not going to lie. Especially when it's ads you can't fast forward through, which that drives me more nuts than anything. Because there's times where you're just like, I just want to fast forward through this, and I can't.
We should be the ones that are most tolerate it, like from our generation as young kids anyway. Because, from our programs, adverts were there all the time during the program. They come on like 3-4 times and... kids don't get that now, do they?
No, they do not. It is amazing how far we have come in such a short period of time. And I think about as a kid, just like you're talking about. I mean, hell, we actually had to get up and turn the channel.
right.
Yeah, or even tune it to a degree. Do you remember those little sticks
that God.
Start tuning all of. Oh my lord. And like one of the members of the family would be holding the aerial up in the air, like just trying to get signal.
I can remember that, because when we were kids, Dad would be in the house watching TV, and he'd send one of his kids outside to turn the pole the antenna was sitting on, so we could get the channel to come in clearer. So he'd be like, "Go out and turn the antenna."
I know.
Well, when do you want me to stop? I'll yell at you when I want you to stop. So
And I remember satellite TV becoming an initial thing, but it was like you were putting up a freaking NASA satellite on the side of your house. And to this day, a lot of my in-laws have one of those satellite dishes on their house, and they can't get rid of it. It's like, no, you know, nobody will take it. They can't do anything with it. So it just sits there and rusts. But yeah. All right. Good times. Good times. Let's talk about some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Kim, I don't understand this. So please help me out with what's in Burly Men at Sea. Is this actually a game or is this just...
You know, I've been at that, you know, a couple times already. But yes, it is a game. It's a... I don't know how you want to... How you exactly want to describe it. But anyway, I got it here a while back on the Switch because they had it, like, super on sale for, like, a buck or something. And I don't know. The title was enough to intrigue me. I always like them little weird games. It's got strange titles and, you know, whatever.
Let me see if I can find real quickly some gameplay of this. Describe the gameplay, please.
Okay. Well, basically what it is you're three brothers and they all have beards and they're called the Beard Brothers. And you find a treasure map. And so because you're, I guess you're fishermen, I think is what you are. And anyway, so you take this treasure map and you go off to find adventures is what you do. Like we were swallowed by a whale. So then you have to decide how you're going to, you have to decide how you're going to get out of the whale, whether you're going to wait and ride along in the whale until he stops, or you're going to make him throw you back up. Now,
did this come out in like 2017 for the PS4 and Vita? It just,
I believe so. I think it's been out for a while, but I just picked it up on the Switch. I don't know. It's been within the last year or so. And I'm trying to get back into playing the Switch more because, well, I have it. And there are nights when I don't necessarily feel like firing up the old Xbox or it's late or whatever. So I'll pull out the Switch and play it. But anyway, so this one has been sitting on my Switch for a while and I thought I'd fire it up. And it's like a story kind of adventure thing. And it has very various ends on how it will end. And you can go on how many various adventures you can find because... You kind of end up playing the whole story several times to find the different branching off ends to it. Because, like, say there's two tunnels, you can take the left tunnel and that'll take you out of the cave and you'll get back on your boat and you'll sail back towards land. Or maybe if you take the right tunnel, you'll end up in a different area with a different ending sort of thing. So it's, I don't know, like I said, it's not for everybody, but it is kind of neat to see all the different little adventures you can find. Like, you try to outswim death. So you can either, and I mean like the Grim Reaper sort of death. So you can either try to beat him or you can go ahead and let him win and allow him to take you to wherever he tries to take you. Wow. So yeah, there's various different little stories to it. And at the end of your various adventures, you go back to town and you talk to, I don't think he's the butcher. Maybe he's the baker. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, you talk to this guy in town and on his bookshelf, he'll have a book of your various adventures. And as the story goes along, you get a different book for each adventure you've been on until eventually you have like a shelf full of your little books for your adventures. So, all right. Like this, it's not for everybody, but it is kind of a neat little thing just to kind of see.
Definitely a unique how they go. Art style. I mean, I had it up on screen for a little bit there.
Right.
That was, so, I think, their trailer from 2017. But yeah, it just passed a little time. I Harley Dan's in the chat saying, you played this ages ago. And you've come back to it, so.
So I started that, and I haven't found all of them. I think I'm up to 3 books at the point. And so if you don't mind going back and replaying the same kind of story, just with a little bit different ending, or whatever you want to call it, because there's always a different little thing. Well, instead of taking the right-sided cave, you take the left-side cave and see where that takes you and that sort of thing. Or maybe you don't beat death, or you do outswim death or whatever, you know. It's a good little game to kind of waste the time and go from there because it's not overly challenging or anything like that. But if you got some time to waste and you don't know what you want to play, Burly Men at Sea. Plus the title's just, you know,
the title says it all.
It's just hilarious, right?
Did you get any Modern Warfare 2 in this week?
I did not, and I felt bad about it because I am liking it, but I haven't got any. So I'll have to try harder next week to get some in. So, because I do kind of miss going around there and getting my ass kicked by various other people. So,
fair enough.
That's about how. All right. That's how it amounts to. Is I get on there and I play and I go like 6, you know, kills and like 15 deaths, sort of thing. So,
you know, I do like Modern Warfare 2. I actually was thinking of playing it this past week. We were actually going to play it on Friday. But then turns out Snoogans needed to do an update, which that was going to take forever to do. So we passed on playing. It's a solid, I mean, honestly, it's kind of the standard for shooters at this point in time.
Yeah.
You hate it and you love it all in the same breath. You know, I hate that it has become kind of the de facto best shooter out there. And I think you can make arguments around whether it truly is the best shooter out there or not, but I think it's the most common and easy to play shooter out there. And I say easy to play in that I think anybody can kind of get into it and play and pick it up and figure out what they're doing in terms of competing and being, you know, at that more advanced stage. Yeah. Okay. That's a different story. Okay. Pete,
yep.
Let me just pull up, your, new game here. So let's talk about, Slap Chess.
It's game of the decade. So the one night in the week, when was it? Was it last night or the night before? It might be Friday night actually. Friday night I think it was. I stayed up till about 1:15, right, doing the puzzle, the jigsaw puzzle. And
I'm just gonna let Slap Chess play on screen.
Slap Chess just looked good. It looks like Mark Zuckerberg and one of the. Oh no, it doesn't look like him now. From the side, it did. It looked like Mark Zuckerberg getting slapped. When I was doing that jigsaw puzzle, I was there till like 1 o'clock, and I did quite a lot of it. And Shell said when she got this puzzle that she didn't really want anybody messing around with it. But like everybody's just been going at this puzzle and pretty much completing it off. And I probably did too much that night. And I thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to fire up chess again because I'm going to struggle otherwise. I've not had time to game this week. Yeah. So my game of the decade, chess.com, not Slap Chess yet. I fired that up. And there's bots on the, because you can play against the computer and there's bots. And I played against Mr. Beast, whose skill level was 1,100, and my skill level is 849, I think it was, to start off with. So I played Mr. Beast, and I lost the first game, and then I managed to beat him on the second one. So my skill level's gone up to 889 now, I think. So I've that's the only thing, as far as a game's concerned, that I've played. I've not done anything else.
All right. I just want to point out these guys played chess for all of like 2 seconds and then they just went back to slapping each other. So
I know, right?
Sorry.
And now this one's trying to psych himself
up. Not to take away from the scintillating jigsaw puzzle conversation, but you know, the slap chess thing, I think this is going to be a thing in Vegas now.
I'm out.
They don't really hit each other though.
No.
Do you know what? I think I would have a go at this because, with my previous, my previous experience with Thai boxing and kickboxing, I think I'd be all right with
so,
this.
So, interestingly, and I, so slap chess aside, you're right. They're not. It's much more innocent slaps, in there. There is a sport now, though, slap. Apparently, TBS, I think, is pulling it up. They're going to carry it. Dana White is sponsoring it. And these people are like... It is all about the slap. There's nothing else to this other than they are just standing in front of one another and their hands are actually bound behind them when they take the slap. And you see these people going down. I mean, talk about concussions left and right, because I feel like the slap, it's they're hitting them with the ball, if you will, over the, you know, the palm, not the fingers, and making, you know, contact with like the side of your head. Holy crap. I just feel like there's got to be something better we could do with our time.
I mean, they do have a female division as well, but the guys, the male division, some of these guys are like 280 to 350 pounds in weight. And they're big guys. And by God, getting hit by one of those, you know, it's like going through a freight train.
I mean, I feel like what the next step at this point, I mean, on the trajectory we are on is going to be, okay, everybody gets a pistol, take 20 paces, turn and fire. You're just not allowed to shoot in the head. Yeah, it's kind of bonkers. Anyway. All right. Anything else, Pete?
No,
it's okay. You know, I'm not going to talk about Celasta. I continue on that journey, very much enjoying that. I did fire up PUBG. Now, shocking, I fired up PUBG both console and on PC.
The claws coming out.
The console side of it was a de facto have to play because Friday Snugans and I were like, well, what do you want to play? And I'm like, well, what do you have available to you? I was updating PUBG on the PC at the time, and it was telling me I had a bunch of different updates to do because it had been forever since I had updated PC PUBG. But I have since done that. I then discovered that in order for me to be able to play anything, I have to go to the stupid tutorial because it had been that long. So I got through the tutorial stuff. I set up the claw. It is all mapped out. But I found a fundamental problem with the claw. And the fundamental problem is, you know, on screen, you see all of these different prompts of, you know, what does what, you know, you can kind of have your prompts for keystrokes, that kind of thing. I don't know what my keystrokes are on the claw because there's nothing, you know, there's no actual, like, this is the F key, this is the C key on the claw itself for me to see. So I am going to be creating, this is the actual map of the claw for PUBG for me in terms of all the different bindings. I have to put it on a different format though, because that's a little too dark for me to read. But I realized I need something to help me remember what freaking key is what until I've played it enough to where it just becomes second nature and I remember it. So, yeah, that is next in line for me with PUBG on PC, which I'm actually kind of excited. I went through, I played a little bit of it. I had a good time with it. So I'm not, you know, no complaints. Enjoyed it. Tiny Pete is back. see if we could
gotta love Tiny Pete.
We're just gonna let Tiny Pete be Tiny Pete for a moment. But yeah, PUBG, it's there is nothing better in terms of just the tension for me. I think Modern Warfare 2,
yeah, it's a great
Modern Warfare 2 does bring some of that tension as well, but it's a different kind of tension. PUBG, you feel like at any moment it can just end disastrously, but also you feel like you do have a bit of a fighting chance, depending upon where you're playing, obviously. PC, I think, is a very different skill set than on console. I will also say one funny moment as I was doing the training mission, and I had just put in my earbuds, right? So I'm going through, and one of the last things you do in the training mission is you have to, you know, play against a bunch of bots. And so I'm going through and I'm hearing gunfire and I know it's coming at me, but I'm like, why can I cannot zero in and figure out where the hell it's coming from. Well, it really helps if you put your left and right earbud in the left and right ear properly. So I had them reversed. And so it was just doing my head and trying to zero in on where things were coming from. But anyway, so yeah, so PUBG, good time. Now let's talk about something a little different.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So I decided I was going to fire up Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Since I played Monster Hunter, I kind of have a feeling I know where this is going, so.
Yeah, you probably do, Kim. You probably do. I'm gonna start off with the good. There's some good things this game does.
Like the cats. Anyway.
Can't you just like really rant and just go for all the shit?
I'm gonna go for all the shit. Oh, so one, I spent way too much time in the character creator mode. This is not my character, but my character might as well have been this chick because I tried to go for the hot chick. I was deeply disappointed there was no breast augmentation. You were just stuck with the character model that you're stuck with. It is insanely Japanesey. So they do all of these the typical tropes.
Oh, for a minute, I didn't know what the hell she was doing.
Yeah,
it looks like holy shit,
provocative. It's the stupid dialogue, and the worst part is, it's bad dialogue, and then on top of that, they have moments, you know, especially when you're in game, where it's just you're reading prompts, right? So you're not actually getting voice acting. You're getting, you know, the stupid dialogue box of stuff that you have to read through and you have to click A to get it to move forward. But for whatever dumb reason, and I say dumb reason because it annoys the crap out of me, they decided that the characters, whoever is talking within the text box prompt, is going to make some utterance. And I say utterance because it'll be like, you know, you get a new text box and you hear a, and it's just these dumb little utterances, and I'm like, and yet there's this giant dialogue of text in front of you that you're reading through that this person is supposedly saying to you. So yeah, and then just visually it looks nice, but again, just these some crazy little things that they do. The Japanese anime art styles to things. And also, by the way, cats and dogs apparently have no problem living in harmony here. The cats are all humanized, right, as you can see in this. So they are basically...
I like the cats. They were my favorite.
The dogs are more... They don't really have the jobs like the cats do. Like, the cats are almost more like people, whereas the dogs feel a bit more like horses, but they can attack. Also, but the favorite character of mine, this hairstyle. What the fuck? I'm just saying, it's on screen right now. It's always the same. Anyway, so I am going to continue to play some more. I will say this, though, right now. This is right up there with Persona 5 for me right now. It's teetering on just...
Yeah,
it's rough.
Yeah, because I tried to play Monster Hunter, but what they don't really tell you is it's hard to play by yourself, right, taking those gigantic monsters down. So for me, and not to mention you've got to do a bunch of like tracking and turning in shit, and this, you just can't go out there and start waylaying on a you know, beast or whatever. You have to, you know, track it and find things and, you know, learn about it. And after all, I'm just like, you know what?
Oh, and by the way, on screen, this is my favorite part. They talk about the rampage, and they literally say a rampage is a huge monster herd coming at you. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is just I feel dumb just listening to them talk. Because they do just over explain everything. And so again, from a combat standpoint and from a gameplay standpoint, there's a lot of agency. There's a lot of things that you can do that will affect things. And overall, the gameplay doesn't seem horrible. But getting past the story bits, getting past the voice acting, which again, I don't know if I like the voice acting better or I like the stupid, you know, text boxes. I think I would like the text box better, because in my head, I'm reading it a very different way. But then they do this dumb little utterances every now and then it brings me right back into the nonsense. Anyway, so I made my female character, trying to make her as hot as I could. I then picked a cat. I picked a dog. I had to customize all of them as well. I named everybody. And so my female character is named Meat. And I took a page out of Fallout and I named the dog Dog Meat. And my cat is named Sail Cat. So if you're not familiar with the term Sail Cat, that's when you take a cat and you throw it. Sail Cat.
Yeah. Anyway.
Pete becoming Giant Pete again. So we are going to transition out of that.
What's going on with my
I
camera?
Don't know. The feed... The,
maybe it likes Greg's short shorts.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's it. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, the shorts on the screen.
Yeah. Anyway, Monster Hunter Rise. Steve Conger loves this game, and he's the one that's like, you've got to play it. And then he gave me all kinds of instructions on what to try, and he's like, I would be either a Twin Blade or I forgot the other name of the gun thing, and I'm like, I'll do Twin Blade. Done. So that's what I'm playing as, a Twin Blade meat sack. We'll see.
Well, there you go. Well, good luck. Like I said, I didn't get along with Monster Hunter because, like I said, they don't let you just waylay on the beasts and, you know, call it good. You have to do all sorts of learning and reading, and even for me, and I mind reading, but after a while, even I was like, you know what?
Yeah. Yeah. I will give it an hour. I'm through the tutorial. I think that was about 20 minutes. So I've got, I'll get into my first quest, official quest, not the tutorial one. We'll see how that goes.
Good luck. Yeah.
I get the... Yeah, you gotta... And here's my hope. Is the actual gameplay and the hunting of the monsters is going to be enough to win me over? Because that seems like what everybody loves is the you know, going after the monsters in the world. But holy crap, the story and dealing with all of that nonsense.
Getting to there.
But
let me know how it goes.
You have got to give it a couple of hours, haven't you, to be fair?
Let's not go too far, Pete.
You can't.
A couple hours feels...
2 hours.
That feels punitive.
2 hours is fair.
Well, it was like Lewis when he was like, oh, you got to play for 5 hours. I'm like, no, that's like torture at that point. Come on.
Well, you don't know. You don't know. It might pull you back.
You never know. This is true. It just might. Yeah, I will just say that. All right. I think that does it for the games. We've got some news to cover, so let's talk some news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. I was going to make everybody read stuff, and then I'm like, no, I'll just go through it. I'll do my best Robin impression.
Good luck.
Robin wants to be an American desperately, so I don't have to actually change my voice for anything. This is Robin. All right. Marvel Avengers won't receive official support after September 30th. This came way of Engadget. In fact, all of the news stories, with the exception of the last one, I pulled from Video Game Chronicles. I want to give them their credit where credit is due. Following a 2-year run that saw the game struggle for much of it, Crystal Dynamics is winding down the development of Marvel Avengers. Following a report of the project's imminent demise, the studio published a blog post on Friday announcing it plans to stop supporting the live service after September 30th. Crystal Dynamics will release one final balance patch and shut down Marvel Avengers in-game cosmetic store on March 31st. On that same day, players will see their remaining credit balance converted into in-game resources, and they have this weird, crazy table of conversion if you really are interested in finding out what that looks like. They said, additionally, as a show of appreciation to the community, that Crystal Dynamics will release... a bunch of different cosmetics that were only attainable through the marketplace will be free for all of those that own the game. So it'll still be playable. Just don't expect support moving forward for the game. I'm actually shocked it took this long. Did you either one of you play this game?
Yeah.
Did you like what you played of it, Pete, or...
It was okay.
I liked the very beginning part of it, where it was very focused on the little girl, and it was very story.
Yeah.
And then you got to the hub world, and it all went to shit.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it just didn't. It just lost itself, didn't it? And you just got bored with it. It was just the same old shit all the way through. And yeah, I got as far as trying to think who I played as now. I think I played pretty much as everyone. I did. Because you play as the girl as first, don't you, at the convention and stuff, and then you start to go into the characters, don't you, like Hulk and whatever. But I think I got to Iron Man. Well, anyway, it's just a bit. I got a bit bored, and I had enough. And I was quite excited about this game. It was at EGX when we went, actually. Yes.
It was the big thing at EGX. Yeah. And everybody was like, oh, this looks pretty awesome. Dan in the chat, I did see something about breast milk ice cream. I refused to read the story. I am sure it is insanely funny, but no, I did not actually read that. I really wish I could figure out why Pete wants to go. Pete, you're like the Ant-Man right now. That's what's going on. You become small, you become big, and there's no telling what version of Pete we're going to get.
I have cracked quantum physics. I can just do that.
I think you have. All right. Next story. Sony confirms 13 more PSVR2 game titles, including Tetris Effects and Res Infinite. Sony will start shipping PSVR2 in a little over a month, and it has revealed more details about the games coming to the platform, as well as the launch lineup. PSVR2 will arrive February 22nd. It'll be $550, and for that lovely price, as long as you have a PS5 as well, you will be able to play any of potentially the following. And I say that Sony expects more than 30 titles will be available for the platform by the end of March, including After the Fall, Altair Breaker, Before Your Eyes, Cities VR, Cosmonius High. I don't know. Cosmonius High?
That's what she said.
Sure. Creed Rise to the Glory Championship Edition, the Dark Pictures Switchback. That was really hard for me to say. Demio, Discronia Chronos Alternate, Fantavision 22X. Sure. Gran Turismo 7, a free update from the PS5 version. Horizon Call of the Mountain, Gigantic Pete in the House. Job Simulator, Jurassic World Aftermath, Kayak VR Mirage. Kuzona AI. I'm not sure which that is. I think it's AI.
Kuzuna AI.
Touch the Beat. Yes. Pete, have you touched the beat? Is that what I'm hearing here?
That's what's going on.
It would explain a lot what's going on with your camera feed, but you know. I mean, I'm going to try making you a slightly smaller than I have. See if that works. Slightly smaller Pete now in the house. The Last Clockwinder, The Light Brigade. Purchase will include both PSVR and PSVR2 versions. Moss 1 and 2 Remastered. NFL Pro Era. It's a free upgrade. No Man's Sky. Pavlov VR. Pistol Whip. Also a free upgrade. Tiny Pete in the house. Puzzling Places free upgrade. Resident Evil Village free update for the PS5 version. Res Infinite, Song in the Smoke, Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, Synth Riders is a free upgrade. The Tale of Angoro, Tentacular, Tetris Effect Connected, Thumper, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, Channel 2 Retribution. What the hell? Chapter 2. I like Channel 2 better, but Chapter 2. We'll go with Chapter 2. Okay. Vacation Simulator.
All right.
What the Bat and Zenith the Last City. And it's a free upgrade for you there as well. So all of those. Pete, are you in for PSVR 2?
No.
No? That didn't entice
it's
you?
It's the cost. It's the cost, Greg. It costs more than the PlayStation, and I'd be interested to see what the figures are, the pre-sale figures, and what it'll be like on release. It'd be interesting just to see what it's like after it's released, and what people think of its of how it plays and how it compares to Oculus. I don't know, man. This is a lot of money, isn't it?
That is. Well, I mean, you're already halfway there with your investment. You just got to double up now.
No.
Okay.
No.
Speaking of investments, Stadia users can now unlock their Bluetooth controllers. So Google.
Oh, yeah.
Google has revealed the online tool it promised to enable basically support for the Stadia controller to become Bluetooth enabled. This gives the cloud streaming gamepad a second life so owners can use it with PC, iOS, and Android devices, preventing the platform's central accessory from becoming a glorified paperweight. By the way, Stadia shut its doors for good on the 18th of this month.
Mm-hmm. I would hang on to it. It's memorabilia, and I reckon sticking that in a box and keeping it for 40, 50 years, yeah, people will be after that like they're after E.T. in the desert. I reckon hang on to it. I wouldn't use it as a controller. I'd just stick it in the box.
Stick it in the box.
Yep.
Stick it in the box.
All right. The Last of Us is HBO's third largest debut of the streaming era. So if you have enjoyed The Last of Us, you're basically not alone. Warner Media has revealed the video game adaptation racked up 4.7 million viewers on conventional and streaming TV for its January 15th premiere, make it HBO's third largest debut in the streaming era. Only Game of Thrones spinoff House of Dragons rated higher with a crowd topping 9.9 million and Boardwalk Empire's 4.81 million viewers just nudged it out, making it third. So let's talk about The Last of Us real quick. Mm-hmm. Here's my controversial take. The Last of Us is a great movie, a great TV series. The game is good, but it is a better movie. It's a better TV series. And that's because it was always written to be a movie. It was written to be a on-screen drama.
Think about when
you played the game. There wasn't a lot of player agency. You didn't really do anything other than really tackling a few enemies here and there to get from one cutscene to the next. And the cutscenes moved you along the story and you were enthralled by it because it's a great story. It was well acted, even in the game. It was well directed. But ultimately, it was the cutscenes, it was the story that they presented that really made the game great. Not the gameplay. The gameplay was just okay.
I absolutely disagree. No way. Those enemies in that game, right, were batshit crazy. And it was, you know that feeling that you get when you played Resident Evil 2 on the PlayStation back in that day in your dark little bedroom with your little television and you were scared shitless. I was exactly the same playing Last of Us. And I've never had that anxious, that nervousness, that excitement, and in all that time until I played The Last of Us. Yes, I get it. It's story driven. The cutscenes are amazing. You can see that it's going to be a great film. But I swear to God, that is the best game you can play in a long time. In my opinion.
That's okay. You are entitled to your opinion. I will be very curious to see what you say once you see the series and watch it in comparison. Because it is very interesting to make those comparisons because there you will be able to make those kind of comparisons. But yeah, so I just...
I played the game though, you didn't. You
no, I played the original. I played The Last of Us. I watched The Last of Us 2. Yes.
Yes, but you haven't played
two. I did not play two. I decided to watch the movie, which was rightfully so. I could have watched the first. Just wait for HBO to bring it out.
I have a question.
I have an answer. Maybe. Or right, might have an answer.
Did the TV show bring out Knife Block?
You know, the best part about the TV show was at one point there is a knife. And it wasn't, you know, there was no problem with the knife block. Just saying.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Here we go. Ubisoft cancels three games and delays Skull and Bones yet again. So things aren't exactly going smoothly over at Ubisoft. There's been a lot of hubbub, actually. A lot of people talking about what's been going on there. The publisher has canceled another three games, this following the four titles it killed last summer. Not only that, the company announced yet another delay for Skull and Bones, a game we first tried out all the way back at E3 2017. The pirate sim was supposed to finally emerge on March 9th, but Ubisoft has delayed it until the early part of its 2023-24 fiscal year, which starts in April. So this is the sixth publicly announced delay of Skull and Bones. So,
wow.
So, okay, so real fast, the delay for Skull and Bones, whether or not it's going to be a good game, irregardless of that, because I don't think it's going to be potentially a very good game. I think it is destined to be kind of mediocre. I actually don't see this delay as that big of a deal. And I think if you really look at the timing of the delay, I think the realities are Ubisoft looked at 2022-23, their fiscal year, and they were hemorrhaging money. It's been a shitty year. And so instead of having Skull and Bones come out at the very tail end of what is amounting to a very shitty year for them, they are pushing the game to release into the beginning of their next fiscal year, which whatever sales they can muster from this game will help that year. So I think this is purely a financial move. It has nothing to do with the game not being ready. It's literally about a month difference. So I think this is a financial move for them just to try and shore up and make 2023-24 a better year. Anybody can, I mean, Ubisoft is going through absolutely difficult times. I can't see them folding. I also can't see them being bought. I don't think anybody is going to want to take on that company. You know, I've heard a lot of people speculating, well, maybe Sony could buy them. I don't know what the asking price from Ubisoft would be, but apparently they previously tried to go this route and they were asking for quite a lot. And they got kind of laughed out of the room, so to speak. At least that's the scuttlebutt from quote unquote insiders. But they're such a big company. I mean, this would be the equivalent of like an Activision kind of type deal. But I don't know anybody wants to take on the dysfunction of Ubisoft. And Microsoft's already committed, so they're out of the picture on that. So I don't know. Do you think Ubisoft could be bought up? I'll start with you, Kim.
I don't know. I think it'd kind of be like, I don't know. I think you'd kind of have to watch it. And I don't know, what was it this week? The one of the head honchos or whatever said something and kind of stuck his feet in his mouth. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder. And, you know, from what I can see from Skull and Bones, it's probably not going to be that great. So not that I'm going to play it, but. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of like taking matches to gasoline if somebody was to actually try to buy it. But I guess there was somebody had tried to buy it out before or something, or take it over or something to that point. So I don't know. There's fools born every day, so I'll bet somebody tries it.
I mean, I think we all thought the same thing of Activision at one point. So, I mean, there is that too.
True. Right.
Pete, do you think Ubisoft stays independent? You think they get bought up by somebody?
I think it'd be like taking on a bit of a poison chalice. I think a breakdown of the actual company itself and being a part of it being distributed to other people. I don't know. I wouldn't buy it, would you?
No, but interesting. Hardly Dan in the chat saying perhaps Alphabet. I think he's referring to Tencent. I could be wrong on that. I think that's the reference there. Or Elon Musk. I don't think Elon Musk would buy them. I could see Tencent making an investment.
Well, I think Alphabet is the one that owns Google, right?
Shit, I don't know. I don't know. I can honestly say I don't know. It's hard to say. I do hope they turn it around. I do like Ubisoft games. I do, right. And Pete, this is a question I actually wanted to ask you, because we talk about, you know, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and we talk about these great, big, long games that have hundreds of hours in them.
Yeah.
And I know from a gamer standpoint, that's great. You know, it's like, oh, you have all this content. But from a company standpoint, are they not actually hurting themselves by creating these gigantic games that basically take their, you know, they in a sense, pull away a buyer from other future games because there's, you know, you literally played for a year Assassin's Creed Valhalla. You played a couple other things.
Well, I know I read an article here a week or so ago, they're saying the new one, was it Mirage or whatever it is, will actually be smaller because there's been so many people complaining about how big the Assassin's Creed games have gotten. Yeah. So
I missed the question. I didn't get it.
Welcome to the podcast, Pete. No, we were talking about, like, so the length of these big Ubisoft games, and all of them seem to be of late hundreds of hours practically. Is that really a good thing for the industry, or should the industry really start trying to scale back into these 20 to 40 hour games? Because that'll actually open up more sales for other games, because you're not going to have a player base that's like, oh, I don't need to buy a game for a year. I'm just going to play Assassin's Creed Valhalla for 2022.
Yeah, but that'd just be like saying, oh, let's just bid off all of the games that you can complete in 9 or 10 hours, because, you know, you're paying £20 for it, and it's a bit of a waste of money, and you could just put into a game where you could spend a lot more hours and get, like, you know, your money's worth out of it. And some people like those games.
From a consumer standpoint, there's a huge attraction for that. I'm talking about the industry as a whole, the actual publishers, the game developers. Are they not hurting themselves by doing that?
Well, look at Rockstar and, like, Red Dead and GTA. Like, GTA, look how much money that's produced. GTA 5, I don't think it would hurt the industry. It's just how they produce the game and what they put into it, I reckon.
That's fair.
If they put something worth purchasing, first of all, if it's a good game and you get the investment from your consumers, and then you place a model where you've either got subscription, or you've got decent expansion packs, or you've got a great online community that where you can put money into it, like, that way, or do it like GTA. They bring out the game first, don't they, and then they bring out the online afterwards to create another, like, monster of popularity, and maybe a different audience, who just people who just like to play online. And then after that is either the expansions or the side missions, and then after that it's all the other games that you can play online, and all the different online stuff that you could do, the online the additional purchases and in-game currency and all that jazz. It just depends what they're doing. Assassin's Creed don't do that, do they? They release 2 or 3 expansion packs, and then they just let it rot, and then they'll work on another one. That's what they've done with Valhalla. They just let it rot afterwards. They bring out 2 or 3 good expansion packs, but at the end of the day, the story was wicked, and people who really played all of that game and invested time into it would possibly go into it again, or just play all of the side missions to finish it off and just saturate the game to it's finished in its existence. And I think as far as the industry is concerned, I think it's just well balanced in how you've got the choice in all of these different types of games and what they can give you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But Ubisoft, I don't know. Would you want to buy it out? Would you? There's loads of games out there where you can put hundreds of hours into it. Why would you want to do it? They're great. Don't get me wrong, but
no, that's fair points. I can see where you're coming from with that. And Hardly Dan, I think, is kind of in the same boat with you there, Pete. He's saying, you know, the game isn't full of pointless busy work. He said, I'm all in for a longer game. So.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something like The Witcher 3. I love The Witcher 3, don't get me wrong, but all those fucking checkpoints or check marks that they had, and a lot of it is the same damn shit all the time. I mean, that was almost enough. That's why I still haven't finished Blood and Wine yet, because I had checkmark burnout. So
bloat is a problem in those big open world games, because I think there's that desire to fill the world up and have lots of things to do in all the nooks and crannies of the big world map that they've created. But to Kim's point, at some point it does become a little too much, especially if it's repeat and rinse.
It's like what my brother says, though. He's always said it about gaming. He always says all games are pointless. Gaming is pointless. The whole lot of it is. It is what grabs you, isn't it, as a consumer, or, you know, as an audience. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much out there now available that if that doesn't if that's not your bag, you can just move on and play another 20, 40, 50, 60 games until you find something that is your bag. It's true. Just there's just so much out there for people, isn't there? It's just
it is vast. As big as it has ever been, that is for sure.
Yeah, it's massive.
Well, speaking of shrinking, for once we're not talking about Tiny Pete, we're talking about Microsoft. So this past week was actually a really tough week for Microsoft employees. Microsoft confirmed plans to lay off approximately 4.5% of the U.S. technology giant's 220,000 person workforce. So that's about approximately 10,000 people that got laid off. Happily, by the way, on a side note, I did hear Google also had a big layoff. But I think Microsoft did not do it the way Google did it. Apparently, Google had people like lining up to get in the buildings with their badges. And if they got a red light, that meant they were laid off.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
So, yeah. Suck. So it's like green light, red light, you know? Anyway.
Imagine the anxiety on that one being the next one in line going, you know.
How can you get away with that? That's awful. That is awful.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was, you know, probably not the way they planned for it to be, but I guess that's the way it turned out because a lot of people were coming in to work. The layoffs hadn't been officially announced. But badges had been deactivated. So anyway, back to the Microsoft story. A big part of this was 343 was hit pretty hard. They had approximately 130 people that were laid off. And so a lot of those in particular had been working on these single player elements. This led to speculation that 343 could be downsizing its commitment to Halo Infinite content and even outsourcing future development entirely. On Saturday, 343 appeared to address the speculation directly with a statement published on its social media outlet, basically saying Halo and Master Chief are here to stay. 343 Industries will continue to develop Halo now and in the future, including epic stories, multiplayer, and more of what makes Halo great. So, I mean, 343 was already a big studio. I think it was like 500 plus employees. So it was a big studio. Yeah. They did shave off a big chunk of people, and I feel bad for those that lost their job. Layoffs are never good.
Right.
But, 343, they're not scuttling the developer. They're not scuttling that studio house. They will continue to make games for sure. And it sounds like it will continue to be Halo, which I'm happy with. I'd like to see them make something different than Master Chief at this point. I'm down for another ODST type game. But yeah, that's the news.
Oddly, Dan mentioned one more thing. He says Elden Ring is huge, but it's filled with actual content. And I was talking to my brother about Elden Ring because he's on about purchasing this game. And the thing that puts me off with Elden Ring and the Elder Scrolls like franchise itself, I've not played any of it, and I feel as though now somebody sitting back and letting all of that go on, have I just let too much happen, and can I just pick this game up and play it straight away without investing into any of the other stories? And I just
Elden Ring, yes. And I don't think you really even the Dark Souls games, I think you could just jump into because there's story to it, but they do feel very like siloed. It's not like it's a sequel and like, you know, previously on Dark Souls 1, you know, you're not getting any of that.
Right.
But I think Elden Ring from a world building and kind of ease of onboarding, I think that is the game to try for you for sure.
Yeah. And you think how big that game is and how many hours some people have put in, and I've not even touched one hour of any of that game, but that's it because that's because of the vast choice of what we've got. It's just, I did see it and I thought, oh, should I pick that game up? But I just don't know enough about it. There we go.
Okay. Well, that is the news, kids. A busy week, surprisingly busy. Don't forget also Microsoft has their big event on the 25th. So that will be a developer direct. So I'm assuming this is going to be like a Nintendo Direct type presentation. Starfield will not be there. That's the one thing we do know. That will be its own presentation later on in life. I say later on life, later on in the year. Okay, Kim, we've got, we do have some new releases coming. So let's talk about that.
Alrighty. Your new releases for January 22nd through January 28th are Forspoken for the PS5 and PC on January 24th. And I won't be picking up this game off the bat. I'm going to kind of wait and see. The demo did not wow me. But I guess they released a patch for the demo, which I'm not sure how that makes me feel, because honestly, that's a little off-putting. But anyway, Forspoken will be out the 24th, so go forth and you know, parkour off of rocks or whatever you want to do. Risen for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch on the 24th as well. World War Z for the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S on the 24th. Devolver Tumble Time for the iOS and Android on the 26th as well. We'll scroll down here and read the rest. We have Hitman, World of Assassination for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 26th. And last but not least, we have Dead Space, the remake for the PS5, the X and S, the PC on the 27th. And I know there's quite a few that are looking for that one. So there you have it. Go get your, you know, underwear soiled, because I'm sure it's going to scare the shit out of a lot of people.
I've not played Dead Space, and it might be a good one to play this.
I liked Dead Space. It's a cool mix of horror, but kind of like Aliens, where you have guns and you feel like you can defend yourself, so it's not as bad as being like, I don't know, like the Resident Evil games of late, where it's like, you know, you have no weapons and you're being chased by an axe murderer.
And you craft a plant, and all of a sudden you make a bazooka. Yeah.
Forspoken's interesting. So this is a Square Enix or Square Enix game, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
I would say Enix, but all right.
Apparently it is Enix. I have heard now, supposedly that's the way it's called. I always said Enix. I don't think it matters. It's a Square game.
Yep.
And so the big hubbub right now is a lot of people feel that, you know, what they showed versus what is actually being now on screen is not, you know, they kind of did the bait and switch, the Ubisoft bait and switch, if you will. So
right.
I guess Forspoken at times is going all the way down to like 720p on the PS5, which is kind of insane. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I never was overly excited for this game. It's telling that they are releasing review codes only to select outlets. They're not reviewing it on PC at all. So there's no PC outlets that are getting the codes ahead of time. It doesn't speak very well for the game at this point in time. Who knows? Maybe it surprises all of us. Apparently, also did not realize this, but it is going to be a timed exclusive. It's not a exclusive. Say that three times fast.
It will be on Xbox at some point.
But I think the damage is already done. I don't think anybody is going to, if it releases as badly as it's going to release, this is potentially kind of that Cyberpunk situation where it's almost impossible to recover from it. Although I think Cyberpunk did a pretty good job of recovering. I don't trust Square to stay in that seat and do enough to last through it.
I know everybody's making a big deal about how the demo looked. And my theory on that is, well, it's the demo for one. So, you know, you kind of take it with a grain of salt as well. Is this the finished product or is this the just, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, I don't know. That doesn't really bother me as much.
But why would you put a demo out that looked that bad? That's the concerning part, right?
Well, true. And like I said, they did put a patch out for it, which is also concerning to me because I'm like, they're patching the demo? All right. But for me, it was just the gameplay and the constant chatter between the two, the bracelet and the, you know, protagonist. And honestly, the bracelet was less annoying than the protagonist. So for me, that was kind of a red flag on, And then the fact that there's an option in the game where you can tone it down to where they don't talk between each other so much. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. So I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to pick it up probably on sale or something. Or I may not pick it up at all. Who knows? So,
oh my God, Dead Space is £63.
Yeah.
Oh my life, that's a lot of money for an old game, isn't it?
Well, apparently they've done a lot of work.
Well, it's a remake.
Yeah.
Well, Do you remember Alone in the Dark? That's 54 quid. I don't know, man.
I'm just saying this. I don't think we're in an era now that we need to buy games day one. You know,
right? I agree.
I think the smart consumer waits a month to 2 months, and they will see prices drop. It potentially will come to one of the services. I am excited for Dead Space Remake because I've heard a lot of positive things about it, and I loved the original game. And I think, you know, in contrast, so Callisto Protocol came out and was underwhelming. You know, I was really excited for that game, and I thought, oh, this is going to be the Dead Space we've all been waiting for, and not so much. And I think it's because a lot of the combat mechanics of the game and how they decided to make some choices and how it handles, just a lot of people just didn't care for. So Dead Space Remake, that might be the shining star for the month of January. I don't know. We'll see.
Could be.
I tend to just wait for holiday sales. That's what I tend to do. Or I wait until Kim's bought it and then it gets released on Game Pass.
That usually is the plan, right? I hear Kim's bought a game and I'm like, it's done. It's coming.
Well, like I said, wait
7 days. Yeah. Days later?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Where are we? Well, I guess it's that time we can kind of start wrapping things up. Wednesday nights, God willing, we will continue to play either Halo or Modern Warfare 2. So if Kim actually shows up, maybe we'll transition to Modern Warfare 2. Maybe we can get Boomer out there playing a little. And then Fridays has been PUBG. Might be PUBG on PC the coming Friday. We'll see. Pete, if you're around, we could play PUBG. I'm just saying. I don't care if it's on console or PC. I'm easy.
We've heard that about you.
Come on, Pete.
I struggle, man.
I know. The struggle is real.
I've got jigsaws and chess to do.
Hell of a combo.
I think Dan, by the way, was deeply disappointed it was not an actual jigsaw, that it was a puzzle. I did see, because he actually asked the question, saw or puzzle, and you came back with puzzle. I said, oh. All right, Kim, let's give a shout out to the chat. I know it's been pretty active in there. I think Dan has been firing away.
Hardly Dan's been in there. Major Revenge has been in it. Boomer showed up. So, yeah. Thanks, you guys, for stopping in and keeping the chat jumping. It's always nice, you know, because otherwise I'm just in there talking to myself, which seems a little odd, and, you know, but whatever. So, you know, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for keeping us entertained and piping in on things. So it's always appreciated.
Absolutely. Pete, do you have any shout outs, Pete, that you would like to get off your chest?
I'm just going to shout out my dad, Papa Chin, for achieving his 79th birthday.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved.
Yeah, well done, Dad.
And if I had really thought about it, I would have played the birthday song earlier, but I did not make the equation of Papa Chin having a birthday until I started reading the notes. A little too late.
Papa Chin.
Yeah.
That's fine. I think we mentioned him last week.
I believe so.
Anyway.
Kim?
Shut us down.
I think, Kim, do you have any specific shouts you want to give, Kim?
Just to you guys, like normal. And like I said, because this is usually my mental health day with the way my weeks have been going here lately. So thanks for that. Other than that, hopefully it's warm where you are and we'll eventually get warmer. And I guess we'll see you all next week.
All right. I want to shout out television for never ceasing to amaze me. There's a new television series coming out that... it's MILF something, and I don't know the actual title, but I...
MILF Manor,
something like that. So it starts off, and you see all of these hot moms, right? And you don't even know that they're moms. They're just hot older women. And so I'm like, okay, you know, this caught my interest. I'm like watching the advertisement for it. And then they're showing all of these young dudes, right? And these all of these chicks are trying to hook up with the guys, and it's all about the MILF connection, right? But then they go to the first reveal, And they're like raising, mm-hmm. I think they're partitioning like curtains or something. And you just hear one guy, "Mom?" So apparently all of these women have sons that are on the show. It is going to be a stupid TV, but I almost want to watch an episode just to see. Because, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
How can you watch that and then diss me for watching Married at First Sight?
No, I honestly can't. My only defense at this point in time, Pete, is that I have not actually watched this. I've just watched a television commercial. So, you know, I talk a big game, but at the end of the day, I probably will never watch an episode of this show, whereas you have dedicated half your life to.
No, I'm not dedicated.
This just reminds me of me and Dad watching the commercials for The Bachelor the other day, and he's just looking at me, and I'm just looking at him going, oh my god.
Do you know what though, in a couple of weeks time Greg will be at like so I walked in and Cindy was watching the television, and it happened to be whatever that program's called, and I sat with her and I ended up watching six episodes, and now I'm
probably
I will put a wager on that. We absolutely. All right. Thank you to both of you for making the show. I appreciate it. Sure. You know, it was a good time. Always fun talking to the two of you. Robin, enjoy bologna. I'm sure you're having a great time. Mark, welcome back to the show next week. I am likely not here, but Mark has agreed to come in and help out. So he is going to make his inaugural reappearance. And help out with spinning the decks for the show. And Pete, I believe you are going to be donning the host hat. So I do expect you actually have a hat on.
Okay, I'll wear one.
All right.
I'll try and remember.
Get him like a wizard hat. A wizard hat
would be good.
Yeah. I'll find something. I've only got one ear at the moment, and that's my brother's company hat. I don't want to wear that.
You should grab one of those penguins and just throw it on your head. Anyway, all right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Come back next week. We will have a show. Hopefully, it'll be just as great as this one was, with no audio issues. Big Pete and Mini Pete all in one episode. Thanks again. Come back, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.